Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
So they're going to read the newspapers the rest of the day and figure out what to do coming back in a day or so?
Say again?
I said the traders are just going to read the newspapers the rest of the day and come back
on
Sunday night and figure out what to do next?
Well, I think that's where, you know, today's report with the pool, I'm hearing the pool number being around 21,000 or 210,000, excuse me, around 210,000 contracts on the corn right now, Dave. So it's unlikely that we will come off limit in corn at this point. The first one that would probably come off limit is the wheat, because it probably has a smaller pool and had more of a neutral report. Plus, it's also been a heavily spread traded commodity, so I would think the wheat maybe would start to see a little bit of sell signals late in the day, but I wouldn't look for the corn or the beans to come off at this point in limit. But yeah, I mean, with the report and what the USDA did this morning, I think it calls back into question not only the yield number and whether the yield number is going to go down further in the next report, but I think it also brings back the grain stocks report and tells the trade, hey, maybe we were onto something, because the grain stocks maybe aren't there, because it was 2010 grain stocks that they started to count in the September 1 stocks report, because USDA did make some commentary towards that in their preamble or their text part of their WASD outlook. And so I think you're probably looking at a report here and the trade saying, we better not take any chances. Let's go ahead and run this on up the flagpole, especially with the fact that the funds cleaned up their house after the third quarter. The outside markets are still supporting, and the USDA showed no rationing of demand on this morning's report. So you got a lot going for you, plus the issue of the Central Corn Belt and the fact that you don't have any harvested acres anymore at this point. And so every of the last bushels are probably gone into the bin at this point.
And I guess USDA is making the assumption that price rationing will happen between now and the next report, and because they've already dropped their exports by 100 million bushels, even though we're ahead of schedule.
Yeah, interesting they did that, because they dropped their exports in corn, but then they raised their global wheat global wheat consumption was raised, and mm-hmm. then they raised the U.S. bean exports, and they also raised the coarse grain global consumption as well in terms of total usage, Dave. So I think we're getting conflicting numbers, and it's like a client told me today. He said, I'm starting to really get nervous when these USDA reports come out, because I don't know what they're going to say. And I think whenever we get that type of back and forth extremes, it's going to cause a lot of volatility that is probably unnecessary and hurts the other side. I think the other thing goes back to, with the report like today, weather becomes a major, major driving factor. And so beans could actually continue on higher, not just because of the report and the corn strength, but also because of what's going on in Brazil. So supply drops, weather becomes a much more important factor, and that adds to the volatility. So it's not going to get any easier between now and the end of the year. It's going to get harder, I fear.
I suppose that off first blush, traders are really focused on all of the U.S. numbers. When they come back and look at the underneath of the world numbers, what are they going to find?
Well, the U.S. numbers are one thing, and I think you bring up a good point. The global stocks-to-use numbers we came in with today are not near where they were in terms of wheat ending stocks, not near the tightest areas that we've been in the past. Wheat stocks-to-use came in at 26.3%. In 2006, we were at just under 20%. The coarse grain stocks to use today came in at 14.5%. The 13.75% is where we were back in 06. We are getting closer in the coarse grains as each month passes, and I think that's where I'm opening the door up now to a move up towards that 06-07 level because of what the USDA did in today's report. How much of this is factored in is the big question mark, but if we stay limit up and the charts turn positive after today, which they started to turn positive on Wednesday, if they maintain their positive outlook going into the end of this week, we could be going up into the rest of October as far as the seasonality goes. And that's where back in December 1980 corn, that peaked in the end of November of 1980, and then it fell 15% at contract expiration. So that 1980 type analogy is still very much in the market, I think.
So the question then becomes, if the bearish tone continues into next week,
the bullish tone.
The bullish tone.
Right.
Then how stout are resistance points at 543 and 560?
I think the 560 is stout, but I don't think you get very stout resistance. If the beans continue to fall under a weather market and Brazil stays dry, I think the beans can take the corn all the way past 560 to where we're dealing with March corn that's just under the $6 level. I think that's where the 585 to $6 level in March corn would be an area that I think would be pretty strong resistance. Keep in mind, we're going back up in the gold. We're going back up and making new 15-year highs in the Japanese yen. The Hong Kong equity index is challenging its 19-month high, I think it is, 12 or 19-month high from last year in November. It challenged that last night. You really have nothing on the table right now that would suggest there's any need to come in and take profit at this point, especially after the funds did such a good job at the end of the third quarter. So to me, I let this thing run. I let it run as much as it wants, and I use momentum indicators more than I use oscillators, because the oscillators are going to give you a lot of false signals, I fear. And in weather markets, I think you got to be careful about using oscillators as well.
So if I'm 50 or 60% sold up, and I'm right at that 4 to 450 area for most of my sales, what do I do about it?
I'm not really interested in re-owning anything if I'm only 50% sold, but if I'm over 60, over 70% sold in cash bushels, Dave, I think it's very important to get some re-ownership in place. The only way you can do it, though, is to buy a call and sell a call at this stage. If you stay limit up, coming in and buying a deep out-of-the-money call is going to be extremely high-priced, high volatility you're going to have to pay for. I'd probably rather want to lock in a trading range and say come in and sell a $6 call or a 620 call where I think the top end of that market is and re-own a portion of my cash sales in that type of manner.
Yeah, we got about 20 seconds left. Just real quick, how much more strength do you think you can see in the wheat market over the next week?
I think the wheat will continue to follow the corn and the beans. So if corn and beans stay strong, the wheat will too. That 645 level held this week, that is rock solid support. That's my line in the sand. So bouncing off 645, I think we can go all the way up to 745 in terms of these futures.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana.